all the people that are listening.
So many people are listening.
So is this a good level or is this too low?
Well, you'll be talking louder when we get going.
Will I?
Whoa. Maybe not that loud.
That was really loud.
Ew.
I told you I had noises coming out of my body.
Pretty she's all stuffed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got the sinus situation.
Well, should we just jump right into season 2 of Blessing Loose?
Welcome, welcome, everybody.
We're back.
We back.
Yeah, that's Meredith. She decided to join us, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hesitant at first.
It's been a minute since we did this.
We're out of practice.
I know.
But we're glad that you've decided to join us and listen to us talk.
That's what we do on a podcast. We talk.
That's true.
This is our theme song. I know she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay.
Hit it.
Right?
This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Lord, thank you so much that we are back for season 2, that the three of us get to sit around and talk about you and all you've done in our lives and all the questions we have and all the challenges. But we just thank you for all of them, Lord, because you have made yourself so real and present in every single one of those situations. We give this time of chit-chatting to you, and we pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds as we talk, and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
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 So we thought first episode back into season 2, we'd kind of do a recap, catch up of
what's been going on with us.
Yeah, because although the last episode aired in, what, December? Beginning of December?
So. There or November, I can't remember.
Yeah, we had actually recorded a little bit before then, so we've had some life things happen, and this'll air.
We don't know
we
yet.
We don't know when, but no. Even more life will have happened. So we thought we would just kind of do for a first episode, just kind of get back into the swing of things and just talk about what kind of has been going on in our life since. Yeah, lives, because there's multiple ones
it's
of us.
Not just you, Jerry. Meredith and I are here, too.
Whatever. It's fine. So who wants to go first?
Well, you wanted to ask me a question about my life.
Well, we wanted Charity to share her experiences on the dating website applications.
Yes, the
that's how old we are, guys. Oh, so I've joined a dating website application.
Oh, these newfangled things these kids are doing these days.
This is crazy.
Well, I don't mind catching up. There's not a whole lot to share. I joined one particular app that was recommended to me by my sister, who lives out in LA, who's going on date after date after date with handsome man after handsome man after handsome man.
Well, that doesn't sound good, actually. That kind of makes her sound a little...
She's just seeing what's out there right now.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. However, when it comes to Nashville, don't know if there's a lot of dateable men on this particular app is maybe my summation. Mm-hmm. You know, you put in your qualifications of I'm looking for a man who loves the Lord.
Numero uno.
A man. They let you put in height, like distance from you type of deal. And of course I put Christian when it asked for religious preferences. And it sent me all these guys that said spiritual but not religious. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
It means they don't want to commit to a religion.
Yeah.
So you think they're going to commit to a relationship?
Probably not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's a couple guys I talked to that we didn't talk very long again. This just wasn't much out there. There was a dude who catfished me. He had somebody else's pictures up, and I was really proud of myself for finding the actual dude's profile and being like, no, this dude's catfishing on me. But it was
except you didn't figure out you were being catfished until
You girls. I shared it with these girls, and they were like, "Cherry, something doesn't sound right." I was like, "You're right. Something doesn't sound right. Let's get to the bottom of this." Yeah. So, and he was. What's unfortunate is the one that was catfishing me was the only person I was actually legitimately enjoying talking to.
That's kind of the whole point, is they make it look like you won't talk to them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Meanwhile, it's some 70-year-old woman sitting in her house she don't just ever leave. Bored.
That's right. Just talking to anybody she can out there. Mm-hmm. So I haven't gone on one date yet. I haven't actually met somebody in person. And I went through phases where I had it on, because, you know, I think I shared with you, it sends you new men every day at lunchtime, so you could peruse the men while you're eating your lunch, which sounds
new
weird.
Men. Yeah, new men.
But there were at least twice where I just turned the application off, because it just got, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. It felt discouraging to me, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's the correct word that I'm looking for, but... It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. It felt pretty like a downer.
Yeah.
That it kept, and it started sending me the same guys that I'd already passed on. I'm like, well, obviously I passed on them before. Is it saying, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to pass on this guy?
The pickings are slammed. He's liked you.
So if he's liked you, maybe you should give him a
chance.
But
this has all just been one app, though.
This is true.
So you've not tried multiple apps and been given this situation.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just from... Like you said, probably not a lot of people in Nashville are using this particular app.
Yes.
And therefore, you got sent the bottom of the barrel twice.
Right, right. Which is unfortunate. Now, I have downloaded another one that has come highly recommended to me by Jerry and another friend of
ours. It's highly recommended by me. I've not used it, but I've heard about it.
But she's heard good things about it. I just haven't taken the time to set up a profile. Mm. So, I'll make that a priority to set up the profile on the other app. And then I could update you guys maybe halfway through season two and see if that app has been more promising.
Because mm-hmm. this is the app where the women reach out first, right?
The one you're telling me about? I think so. I haven't been on there yet.
Okay.
The one I've been on, like, it'll send you guys and it sends guys a bunch of girls. And if you guys both like each other's profile, it opens up a little chat where you can start talking.
Right. No, the one that you haven't started yet.
No, I think that's the one that you guys were saying where
which
the girls reach out.
I like that idea where you kind of get to sift through a little bit and then you reach out.
Yeah.
But then not necessarily you lead. Right. It's kind of you're the one that starts communication, but then the guy can also take over and take the lead at that point.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Again, not a whole lot to share there because it's been pretty nil. I had one dude. I actually had Jerry read the text messages. You know, not text. It was the little chat box conversation because he was super attractive and he said he was a Christian. So I was like, okay. So we started talking and he was like, do you have kids? I said, no. Are you married? No. I said, do you have kids? I have a kid. I was like, okay. I tried to ask him about his kid. He didn't answer. He said, are you willing to relocate? I was like,
I think I'm done talking to you.
Will you pay for me to relocate?
Oh my goodness. It got really weird.
How many vacation days do you want?
We're going to broker a deal here today.
Yeah, and he actually, like, we didn't talk to each other for several days, and the chat was getting ready to close. He's like, hey, would you want to continue this, you know, through text message? And I was like, sorry, no. Obviously, I haven't talked to you in 3 days, so
yeah,
I think I'm done with the conversation. So,
but all that to say, she put herself out there. She was trying. She didn't not talk to guys. Like, if they reached out, I mean, she tried. I think she responded for the most part. So, I mean... She was still trying her little heart out.
Thank you. I tried my little heart out.
Which I think is what you have to do on those sites. Yeah. You have to just at least attempt to communicate. And then once you communicate, if that doesn't work out so much, you just
go about your business.
You go about your business.
This is true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear about the next venture.
Well, I'll keep you posted.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll meet a man.
From all the new men.
From all the new men that I'll be getting on this new app. This new website application.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So I thought I would share a little bit about my Christmas, because we had talked about, this is Jerry, by the way. I don't know if you couldn't tell by my voice, but I thought I'd introduce myself. So I know we had talked about, we did an episode about wedding season into the holiday season. And so I had Christmas, and it was, it wasn't a disaster. In all fairness, actual Christmas day was lovely. Family was good, you know, time spent with people, that was nice. It wasn't, you know, traumatic. But leading up to it was a bit hard. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if this may be cut out, I don't know. I think a big part of it was birth control mess up. So I'd had a little mix up with my prescription, and so I think that kind of messed with my hormones quite a bit.
It'll do that.
So I think that was a factor in it. Mm-hmm. My sister, her family had to do Christmas a little differently this year from things with her in-laws. And so that kind of changed our dynamic. So it was a lot of, it was kind of a different Christmas, but then it wasn't. And it was hard. It was, you know, I had a bit of a freak out on God, and we have very strong conversation. And, you know, a lot of it was things that I had to go back and apologize for saying later. Like I said, the actual day was good. And then I kind of fell into a slump, and I told the girls this, but it was after Christmas. I still couldn't kind of move past the little, I don't know if it was full on depression, but there was just something that was just really heavy on my heart and my mind, but I couldn't tell you what it was. I knew there was something emotionally that I was trying to deal with, but I just didn't know a reason. And honestly, I still don't know if there was a reason. It could just legitimately have been Christmas, New Year, life, hormones, all of the above. Like, mm-hmm. It could have just been a perfect storm of all of those mixed together. And so even into January, I was struggling. I will say, I mean, I feel a lot better now. I definitely am not in that place. And, you know, I could feel people praying for me. I mean, even my sister at one point, we were driving, and she was like, I know I've not gone through this with you. I know I don't know what you're going through. And I know that right now you don't want to pray about it, but just know that I'm going to pray for you. So it was just nice to, even when I felt like I couldn't even pray over what was going on because I just was so discouraged that I wasn't moving past it, that it was so nice to have other people that I had reached out to, that I had talked to, that I'd been honest with, to know that they were lifting me up in prayer and talking to me, and not just, you know, praying about it and then walking away, but checking in with me, seeing how things were going. It just kind of reiterated how important it is to surround ourselves with people that love us and people that care, people that are going to follow up, people that are going to keep you accountable. Because I had gotten to a point, I was like, I don't even want to pray about a husband. I don't want to think about a husband. I couldn't listen to Christmas music. I couldn't watch Hallmark movies. Like, literally anything that had to do with Christmas at this time, it hurt too much. And I think a big part of it was I didn't have a family. Like, I don't have my own family. And so it was just heartbreaking. And it was also lovely to be able to rest with or know that people were out there caring for me and loving me and praying over me, you know. And I had my sisters constantly texting me, checking in with me, checking to see how I'm doing. Meredith and Charity were praying over me, checking in. My other friends, Brittany and Brooke, like everyone was just trying to make sure that they were praying for me and that they weren't just praying and walking away. And I think that's a big part too, is just following up with people and making sure that the prayer, the one time, and then you're done, you know, because it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't change overnight. You know, I don't think this heartache or this heartbreak was just one morning and then I'm breaking down. I think it was just gradually happening. And then it just kind of blew up when I watched a daggum Hallmark movie that I thought was absolutely ridiculous. And I just got mad about it. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I'm not in the same place I was. I still think the movie was absolutely ridiculous, but I could tolerate it a little more. I mean, I still am not, like, I know it's, right now we're recording this at the end of February, and I still know we have a few months before Christmas, but even the idea of Christmas at this point, it still kind of makes me a little anxious.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, like, even Christmas music or movies, just...
And I'm a singer.
Christmas songs all day.
Meredith's been singing you Christmas songs.
I didn't even think about that.
It's terrible.
Oh, maybe I'm better and I didn't even know it.
Well, look at that.
Because you've been singing and I hadn't even thought about it.
Oh, good.
I bet maybe I'm already over it. That's crazy. Didn't even know.
All better.
So, I mean, it's still a process. It's still, like, to say I'm not over it. But it was also, like, it was both things. It was incredibly heartbreaking, but it was also very uplifting to know that I wasn't going through it alone and that people genuinely cared about what I was dealing with. And it wasn't, I wasn't looked at as someone who was, you know, acting out or being a brat or being absolutely ridiculous. It was legitimately, we see you're hurting and we understand. Like, you're not being ridiculous. You're not overreacting. I might have overreacted a little bit when I had a conversation with the Lord, but that was just me and him. It was fine.
And he can handle it.
He can totally handle
it. He's God.
So that was kind of another reminder that it is important to not suffer alone.
Yeah.
To not let that happen, because that's when the devil will step in and we'll continue to feed that. You know, I mean, when you're talking about the birth of our Savior, it's, yes, it's a family holiday. Yes, it's a romantic holiday. But at the end of the day, the reason it exists is to celebrate our Lord. And I feel like the devil uses all these other things to keep me from that joy, you know, to keep me from that celebration. And I was able to celebrate on the day. And I felt very grateful for that. And I knew a lot of that was from prayer.
And I think also, it's just like what you said, it's so important to not suffer alone. And I think the fact that you reached out to people, because nobody's going to know, maybe sometimes, yes, like if it's somebody in my family, if it's somebody that I'm really close to, then I can pick up, well, there's just something not quite right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you came out and told us what you were struggling with. And I think that that's really important too, because it's so easy to be like, well, why isn't anybody you know, noticing that I'm not well or, you know, I'm not right, when at the end of the day, you have to tell people so that they can walk it out with you.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you were very wise in that, to know I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. And I was also going to piggyback on that and say, and it's easy for family members to misinterpret what you're going through if you're not telling them. Because I had a family member when I was home for Christmas that was going through something that was really hard. And I found myself getting frustrated with this person and annoyed, because I was like, this person is just being rude. But when they opened up later and told me what they were struggling with, it had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrapped this person in my arms and cried with them.
Yeah.
And then I was berating myself, because I'm like, I was being a bit selfish and not looking past how I thought they were being rude and into the heart of what was going on. So credit to you for being so open about it, from both of those things, from what Meredith mentioned and from what I mentioned, because that way people can be understanding with you and can pray with you and check in with you and walk through it with you. And like you said, you're not suffering alone. Therefore, Satan's not able to get those little voices in there.
Yeah.
You know, because you have all these other people around you saying, no, you're not
speaking
crazy.
The truth.
I'm sorry it hurts. I know it hurts right now. And we love you. And we're here and we're praying for you.
And the other thing, too, is when you don't share it with people, you miss out on God's comfort and blessing through others that he wants to give
That's
you.
True.
Because like we've talked about so often, the thing that Satan strives to do with us is to keep us isolated. And so that we stay in our own minds and our minds can hold us captive to where we don't see the truth anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to have others speaking into our lives. First of all, letting us know you're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You are not, what you're going through is valid. And then to, you know, speak words of encouragement and to pray us through that.
All that to say, I feel a lot better. I don't know if that's because Christmas has moved past, but I do know that even after Christmas for a few weeks, I was still struggling. So I think medication-wise, things have evened out. I'm doing better that way. I think that has definitely helped. But I think it's like any situation, and this is, you know, something that my therapist says, and it's not going to last forever.
Right.
And, and when you're in the depression and when you're in that moment, you think, oh my gosh, this is all I'm going to deal with. This is all I ever deal with. This is just,
you can't see out of the darkness.
But the truth is, I had to keep going, but this is not going to be forever. You're not going to feel like this all the time. You are eventually going to get on the other side. you just have to get to the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm definitely there.
And sometimes we just have to live in it for the moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing about feelings is, yes, I can, you know, ask God to uncover it and to show me what the truth is and to, but the way that I feel is valid.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's the way that I feel. And so, and you can't just make that
right.
poof and yeah. go away. I yeah. mean, that's not something that you can just change for yourself mm-hmm. and, you know, strap yourself up by your bootstraps.
Pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
Sounded right to well, me the first way.
Strap yourself up by your bootstraps.
There's the bootstraps and you use them to strap. Yeah. And then and yourself and it. You're up and it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, those are not things that, you know, you could just make happen.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's, I mean, scripture talks about that there's a season for things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And even if it brings you into a deeper relationship with the Lord, or you get some, or it gives you better understanding of who is true and faithful in your life mm-hmm. and who is there for you. I mean, there's always good that comes yeah. out of it, but sometimes you just gotta walk out the...
Yeah. And I've been thinking, like, so I know I'm not the only person to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of a prayer of, God, what can I do to help mm-hmm. someone else? Also, I've been praying over Christmas already and be like, God,
that's smart.
Let me just be prepared for this.
Yeah.
And it was also one of those moments where I freaked out about nothing because, you know, my parents, like I've said, it was a great Christmas. Family was awesome. I don't remember a whole lot of drama, so that's always really nice. In fact, my sister goes, the one who had to leave, she goes, I mean, we're not going to be there Christmas Day, so there may be less drama because there's not as many people.
Not a big silver lining.
And I'm not saying that's what it was, but anyways. So, I mean, it turned out to be a sweet day, but then just kind of even following up. So it's been, so I don't feel so, quote unquote, surprised by this Christmas, to just kind of be covering it in prayer throughout the year and mm-hmm. going, let me open or go into this season. How many months is it? 10 months? I can't even think.
Yeah.
I can't even think. Yeah, 10 months. Uh-huh. You know, 10 months ahead of schedule and go, let's just cover that. And let's just,
mm-hmm. good, Jerry.
Let's just keep it
mm-hmm.
in your hands and under your control. Because clearly I lost control, or what control I thought I had, which, mm. you know,
right.
is a lie too. But that's okay.
It's true. It's true.
So, mm-hmm. so yeah, that was my little update, I guess.
That's good, Jerry. Yeah. So I guess it comes down to Meredith.
Tell us about what's going on with you,
Meredith. And what is happening in my life.
And we go and save the best for last.
I do love that song. So I moved over the time. Well, I moved before we ended the last season, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've already been gone for 7 months, I guess, out of mm-hmm. Nashville.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I know. Well, and it was like, you know, as I was driving in last night, I was thinking how weird it is to drive into a city that was your home for so long and then not be your home. And it's like, oh, you know, because you, I mean, even though I was ready to go, there's still, I mean, I'm still tethered here because, yeah. like, I have you girls yeah. and I'm a little weepy. Like, it's funny. I feel it welling up in me. Like, just calm it down.
It's because she misses us so much. Oh,
it's true.
Oh,
it's true. Like, I've literally thought this afternoon, I'm like, I'm going to have to say goodbye tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. What's that think about that? I'm literally, like, my eyes are starting to tear up. But any kind of transition, of course, is super challenging. And even though you know, or you think you know, that that's where God's calling you, it's still terrifying mm-hmm. and then you don't know how things are going to work out, you know. And then so I moved up without a job, and so I mean, I think there was like a 3 or 4 month, maybe a 3 month lag time between when I knew that I had a job and would start working. So yeah, I mean, just the transition of being closer to family and that whole dynamic, mm-hmm. And then them getting used to me being there, because obviously I've not been there for, I mean, I come home for special events and, you know, visits and stuff, but to not be there all the time, you know, constantly, that was not just my life change, that was their life change too. And so that was something that I was that I've been super conscious about and, you know, making an effort and being and giving them the same amount of grace that I want them to give me of mm-hmm. the adjustment period mm-hmm. of what this is looks like now, yeah. me being back. And, but I feel like that it's, that it has gone really well. I'm super grateful God provided a job that I really love. It was not, I think when you're walking out God's plan for you, it's like you have your own vision for it. And when it doesn't, it's not what you had envisioned for yourself, then it's like, oh man, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's so awesome is, like, I'm so grateful that I was obedient to walk into what God had provided, and it took me a while, but I really, you know, like it. And so now it's the process of, I mean, I do feel like that God has already provided, like, I have several new friends, and, you know, I'm a part of a Bible study, and of course now it's like I'm house hunting and trying to figure out where I want to go to church and what, you know, all of that looks like. And it's just starting a life. And when I moved to Nashville 16 years ago, I was like 20 years old. And it is interesting. Like, I feel like it's very different to start a new life when you're so young.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then now when I'm older, and there are some aspects that are better and some that are tougher.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what has been wonderful for me, because I'm like a confirmation girl. It's like, God, if you want me to do this, you've got to confirm it again and again and again and again and again. And God is so good to meet me where I need him there. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many things, even in my job lately, to where, like, people have been talking about what their vision, like, you know, leadership has been talking about what their visions are for me, and people have been telling me that they really want to build into my life there and what things are going to look like for me there. And it's just those little confirmations of like, wow, I mean, God, not only do you provide, but you provide abundantly. Mm-hmm. And then you let me know, you're walking in the right direction.
Yeah.
So now it's that whole thing of, you know, just staying the course and just, you know, trying to figure out and navigate where he wants me to be, where he wants me to live, where he wants me to go to church, who he's going to bring into my life. And so my prayer all along has just continued to be, you know, Lord, just show me your favor and give me the favor of others. And my whole thing is always, I don't want to make things too spiritual, if that makes sense, because it's really easy to, like,
over-spiritual.
Yes, it's like, you know, you just get so wrapped up in, oh, I mean, everything is like a sign and has meaning. And, you know, I'm like, when my alarm clock goes off at 5:15 in the morning, I'm not like, oh, yes, there's meaning waiting for me today. But it's that whole thing of, though, too, of always remembering, you know, keeping that bit of eternal perspective in the back of your mind of, Lord, what is the kingdom work that you have for me, and where are you calling me to? And, you know, because, I mean, yes, I'm called to work, I'm called to care for my family and to be there for them, but to also build into others' lives. And, you know, so all of that has been, and it's weird because it's so interesting, because I know that I've told you girls this, and I think especially Charity, because Charity was like my very first friend in Nashville. Oh my gosh, which, by the way, Jerry, I told a girl that I worked with our story. And so I said, we have this friend who just thinks that is so pathetic. And she goes, I think it's precious. And I said, that's right.
That's right. Yes. Because it is precious.
Because it's so precious.
We were so lonely and we found God brought us each other.
That's right.
She's so crying over there again, that Jerry.
So funny.
But I remember telling Charity this about the fact that when I moved here, it was like I was in a fog. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was literally like God was doing it for me, because I don't think my little self would have ever had the courage or done it. But it's like God just, it's like I was just in this fog of, well, I'm gonna move. And it's so funny because, like, I remember sitting down telling my parents, and I was like, that's weird, I just told them I was gonna move. And then it's going through that whole process, and, like, I remember them bringing me down here and, like, moving me into my apartment. And then my sweet dad was like, no, Meredith, that that road goes both ways. Aww. Little did he know and that would come back to haunt him.
He's like, why did I tell her that? I know.
It's a one-way street, girl.
That's right.
But, and I remember when they left and my roommate was gone, so I was all by myself. And I remember standing in the apartment going, what have I just done? Why am I here? And I do kind of feel like there's been a little bit of an element of being in a fog again of just like, I mean, because it was like when I was driving in last time, I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't live here anymore. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. Uh-huh. You know, and then it's like sometimes when I'm driving into work some mornings, I'm like, I'm here. I have a job here. Yeah. I have a life here.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I mean, it is still just that adjusting. And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, most of us are called to just live a daily, ordinary life. But what I love about the Lord is that there's purpose in all of it, and that when we're obedient to Him, there is hope for what we cannot see. And there are things that I don't know and that I can't see, but God is, you know, working in really awesome ways. And there are times, there's a psalm that I love that that one of the lines is, I'm trusting that you can see something I cannot. Mm-hmm. And I pray that often. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, when I don't understand and don't know why I'm here and what your purpose is, I'm trusting that you see something that I can't. Ooh, so
amen.
That is good.
Yeah. Every day. Every
day. Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that that's the point. I mean, I guess one of the things that I've really been, which if y'all saw our New Year's videos, I was thinking about the fact that God's called me to a year of gratefulness. Mm. But then also, Charity and I went to like this little talk show taping or something. And there was,
That's okay. I was busy.
Yeah. Sorry. Sherry did not go to this event.
She did not.
It's fine. Work.
But you were sorely missed. We talked about you.
The whole time. 90%
of the time.
We'll have to share that story soon.
Yeah. So, but she was talking about, because she's a very young woman. I don't even know if she's gotten into her 20s yet, maybe. Uh-huh. But she was talking about the thing that she appreciated about her mom and her grandmother so much, was just their faithfulness, just daily faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, God, that's really what you call me to. Mm-hmm. It's to get up every day and to be faithful where I am, mm-hmm. to trust you and to trust that in the ho-hum of the grind, mm-hmm. and of the seemingly meaningless and the seemingly monotonous, like, you're in that.
Yeah. Because our hope isn't in the monotonous.
No, it's not.
And if we put our hope in the monotonous, hoping that that becomes something extraordinary, we're going to be incredibly disappointed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, we put our hope in the extraordinary, which is Christ.
Yes.
And He's going to turn whatever we think at, whatever we think as mediocre and
yes,
dull into, you know, supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And usually it's very small moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes, there are big things that happen too, but just trusting Him in the everyday. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, yeah.
But being grateful for those small moments makes them bigger.
Yes.
Because looking for them and being aware of them, because I think there is so much to be grateful for. I think there is so much to celebrate, but we definitely lose it because we're not looking for it. Because we do take it for granted.
Oh,
because,
yes.
Because, you know, I do wake up in a house, in a warm-ish house, depending on the temperature.
Right.
You know, I do have a job. Mm-hmm. I do have family. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm very grateful for, but because I had a family yesterday, I don't remember to be grateful for that family today, but I am.
Exactly.
And they are incredible, you know, and so it's taking that time to remember to observe those moments of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
We don't know what's waiting for us around the bend. It's not something we should be afraid of.
Right.
But at the same time, things can change in a, in a moment. You know, I have an aunt who suffers from multiple sclerosis, and she is pretty much bedridden at this point. I mean, my uncle is her full-time caretaker.
And sometimes when I'm grumbling in the mornings and I gotta get out of bed, I'm like, but you know what? I can get out of bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can walk across the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just those little things that you, that just like what you said, Jerry, you take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. But we can all find those moments, even in the midst of some pretty either tragic things or hard things, especially in those moments. I think we're even more observant at that point too, but especially in those moments to find things to be grateful for, because I think gratitude in and of itself reminds us that we do have good things. God has blessed us, and that can keep us from getting into, you know, the depths of mm-hmm. depression and hurt where the devil loves to play.
Yeah, because knowing where the source is too, and being constantly, thank you, God. Because, I mean, that's just pouring coal on Satan's little red head. Heaping hot coal. I mean, hot coals.
Because otherwise, they're just regular coals.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you want to pour water on his red?
No. She's saying if we don't acknowledge gratitude and we slip further into the slump,
right,
is adding to the fire. But right, if we do the gratitude thing, then it's pouring water on devil's head.
Oh, yeah,
head.
Pouring water. Yeah. But you're right. It's like, yeah. Sorry, that's what I'm saying.
I'll interpret for him, guys. Don't
that's
worry.
That's what I'm saying.
Somehow I understood.
Jerry's always the interpreter when it comes to the phrases, for me at least.
Yeah, that was good, though.
That was good.
That's been a lot. That's been, 7 months of
mm-hmm.
experience.
Process.
Yeah, mm-hmm. process.
Exactly.
It's amazing what can happen in a short amount of time.
It feels not long, but when you say 7 months, it sounds long, but it goes by
it
so
feels
quick.
Not long.
I mean, I feel like...
It feels not long, exactly.
I love it. Wasn't it around this time last year?
It was.
That we decided
that you had
to
told
this.
Us. Yeah. No, that she told us that she was moving.
That's right.
Yeah. But, and what was interesting about that was that we had decided we were going to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
right
so
before.
Yeah, and so we were planning, like we had gotten together to like plan kind of what we were going to do and when we were going to start. And then I was like, because I didn't know how my move was going to affect this. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that I was going to tell him, which, you know, God was so good to me in that, because like a crazy person, I was like, I'm just going to wait to tell everybody at like the last minute.
Do you know how mad
I
was?
Oh my gosh. Which is nuts. Like, I can't even believe that I even thought that.
Yeah.
But it was like, God impressed on my heart so much. No, you need to tell him. And I don't think that I've shared this yet. But one of the cool confirmations that God gave me right there at the start was, I was like, girls, I feel like, this was that night, and I was like, you know, I feel like I need to share something with y'all, because, you know, I feel like it's going to have an impact, that it may have an impact on this. And Jerry looked at me and said, you're moving to Kentucky. And I was like, what? You know? And I said, has God given you, like, a vision for that? And you said, yeah. She said, it's just been something in the past year that's kind of been on my heart about...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what was, and I'm like, I mean, I just think like how good God is to us in those moments to be like,
prepare hearts.
See, I've already prepared the hearts of others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he didn't fully prepare my heart.
Well,
I'm not still quite over it.
He gave you an inkling.
He gave me a thought of get ready, girl. But,
yeah,
so that's kind of been our life. Yeah.
Yeah, we just wanted to catch you guys up.
Yeah, we're hoping to have more guests this year or this
season.
Yeah. I want to say semester because now I work at a school and that's where my thoughts are. So we want to have more guests. We want your opinions. We want any subject that you feel like we need to be talking about.
Yeah, let us know what
you want
to talk about.
So yeah, let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook. Or Instagram. You can email us. We have an official email, which I don't know if we've ever received an email on it. But
I don't think we have. But
I think it's blessedsingleness@gmail.com, isn't it?
I'm going to tell you for sure.
Or is it Blessed Singleness Podcast?
We had this problem last time we were recording. We couldn't even remember. We have an email address. It's blessedsinglenesspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
It's not long at all. No. Just type it all in there.
Type the whole thing and you'll eventually get to us.
But you can also send us an Instagram you can, is it appropriate? Can we say slide into our DMs on Blessing on this podcast?
Is that a saying?
Yeah.
Oh. Slide into our DMs.
Most of the time it's when someone's trying to hit on somebody
else. Oh, we're not trying to hit on you. No. And don't try to hit on us.
Yeah, we just want to know what you want us to talk about.
That's all. Just let us know, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we still got the Facebook situation, Blessed Singleness Podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's all we got.
Instagram.
Oh, and but I already said Instagram.
Oh, you did?
Did you say what the Instagram name was?
It was BS underscore podcast. All lowercase.
But if you type NBS podcast, it'll bring it up for you.
It'll bring us up. But yeah, so let us know what you want to talk about. And we're excited to talk with other humans because we realize that we have very wonderful opinions. But there are also other opinions out in the world and other thoughts and, you know, support that people want to give. So we want to definitely open it up to that as well. So, yeah, I think
that's it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a wrap on episode 1, season 2 of Blessed Singleness Podcast.
Oh, yeah. I did too early.
Yeah.
Cut.
That was good.
Hello. Remember? But if I say, hey, guys, it's like what you said.
That's all right.
Hey, guys. Be like, don't hey, say y'all. Hey, guys. Say,
hello.
Say, buongiorno. They won't expect it. It'll be awesome.
Oh, good. That's my accent. Mm-hmm. Buongiorno. I'm going to be serious.
Okay, yeah.
We're serious.
Buongiorno. Buongiorno.
Maybe I shot too high. Maybe we just go, hey, blessing on thisers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be called something. Hey, blessings.
Blessings.
Oh. Hey, BSers. Remember to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Blessed Singleness Podcast. And you'll be able to find us.
And wherever you listen to us, we're going to just know the 3 R's. Rate, review, and
remember to listen.
That's the one.
Podcast. Right.
Remember to listen. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.